What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. Drafting the fantasy football team of your dreams is all about risk balance. When you start your fantasy football drafts, you want to think about your team like it's a puzzle. You want to start with your foundational players and then maybe in the mid rounds take one or two big time upside swings on players that can absolutely win you your league. Risk balance is a concept that is very common in investing, and it also matters a lot in fantasy football because if you draft six players that are low ceiling, high floor type of guys, you're destined to come in sixth place in your fantasy team. But if you draft only risky players, there's a very good chance you could crap out and be the one doing your league's punishment. So risk balance is something that is an extremely important concept that I talk about. I did this video last year and you guys absolutely loved it. This video is basically part two to the macro strategy that the number one draft strategy video was. That video is now over 200,000 views. Really appreciate the support on that. Of course, this is one of those videos that I don't want my league mates to see. So make sure you absolutely put a hurt on that like button because we want to get this out to as many people as we possibly can and subscribe to the channel if you are new. So let's get into this video. In our draft guide, we have risk ratings and we're going through them in today's video, breaking down exactly which players are safe, which players are risky so that you can properly balance your risk assessment in the first couple of rounds of your fantasy draft. And again, in our draft guide, which of course has all of our rankings and these risk ratings that we're talking about in today's video. If you want our draft guide, hit the link down below in the pinned comment. Sign up on Underdog Fantasy, use code FSE, deposit $10. Our draft guide's in your email inbox for free within 24 hours. So what these risk ratings basically are is outlining the factors that could help determine whether or not your player hits, whether or not your player is just fine, or whether or not your player is one of the biggest busts in fantasy. And as you guys can see, we have CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, and Christian McCaffrey on the screen right now. They are the consensus top three players in fantasy football drafts. When you look at how I've weighted their risk, you can see a number of different factors. And I gave them basically either a low risk, a medium risk, or a high risk, looking at things like how likely are they to get injured? How likely are they to fall off an age cliff because they're an older player? How likely are they to be a part of a bad scoring offense? How likely are they to be in a low volume offense, whether they're a running back or a wide receiver? Have a bad quarterback? Disappoint from a talent standpoint? Maybe they're not good enough to be a good fantasy option. Lose touches or lose targets to a lot of other players on their offense. If they're a receiver, that means they're competing for a lot of great target competition. If they're a running back, there's another great running back in their backfield. So that is the risk assessment that I did for the top 75 players in our rankings. And like I said, that is in the draft guide. I also took this a step further and I kind of wanted to weigh their range of outcomes. And what range of outcomes, if you guys are new to fantasy, just means is every player has a floor, every player has a median, and every player has a ceiling. And what the upside or the ceiling is something that a lot of people chase in fantasy football drafts, but you also want to be wary of what the median projection is, what we kind of expect based on the numbers and the data, and then the low end projection or the floor based on a number of their risk factors. So you can see Lamb, Hill, and McCaffrey's there. The upside for all of these guys is that they're legendary 23, 24, 25 point per game options. Huge, huge positional advantages at the wide receiver and running back position respectively. Top five would be kind of their median projection, meaning they could basically just finish top five at their position. That's essentially how we're going to grade these players based on range of outcomes. This is essentially how they project. And then the floor, some things go wrong, right? In fantasy football, we know players get injured, players play through injuries. their quarterbacks go down, the offense isn't as good as we thought. Instead of, say, finishing as wide receiver one, like we thought they were going to going into the year, they might be projected to finish wide receiver two after some kind of event like them getting injured or their quarterback getting injured, for example, happens throughout the season. If they're a boom or bust type of player, their downside scenario is obviously going to be a lot lower than somebody who's a little bit more of a tighter range of outcomes. So again, I hope I'm not confusing anybody, but basically ranges of outcomes is all just about ceiling, median projection, and floor. And I kind of weighted all the players based on that, and that is in the draft guide. The volatility section is kind of how wide is their range of outcomes, right? If somebody's ceiling, median, and floor is really close together, then they're probably not a very volatile player, and I would consider them a safe player. They're maybe 10-15% chance that they bust or less. Obviously, minus a freak ACL tear that we can't predict. If you are a risk-averse drafter, a lot of the players that have the safe label are going to be players that you really like, and you can probably take a lot of these players and maybe take one, maybe two risks later on in your draft, and you generally will want to stick to guys that are safe. Volatile is a little bit more of a wider range of outcomes. I would put it at like a 15, 25, 30% chance that they bust. They definitely have some downside risk, but for the most part, we're expecting them to be good. And then the bust scenario is 50% chance that they bust or better. The downside scenario is very real. There's a chance. I would say most boomer bust players are because that they're not good enough. There's a talent issue there, and we're expecting them to kind of take a step forward, and that's why they are considered a boomer bust player. In the risk ratings, I also give them a designation. Based on all of this information, are they a smash, a priority, a target if they fall a little, a fade, or a straight up avoid? And you can see basically how I defined each one. A smash is somebody that I'm just absolutely taking all the time. It's somebody that I rank higher than where they're going in current ADP, average draft position in home league drafts. A priority is, again, somebody I'm probably drafting a lot of. I have them ranked slightly higher than where they're going. Target, I'm about in line with what the market thinks about them. Fade, I'm slightly lower. I'll probably take them if they slide in ADP. And then an avoid would be like, I'm actively avoiding this player. I'm going to let my league mates draft them. In the actual draft guide, I also have small write-ups explaining each of my stances as well. You can see for Lamb, for Hill, and McCaffrey, I basically wrote up that Lamb is the safest player in fantasy football. He's an elite alpha wide receiver one. He's in his prime in a top 10 scoring offense as slam dunk of a 101 or a wide receiver one as we've had in recent years. So this is how it all shaped out. I was using these top three players as an example to explain the process. As you can see, Lamb, Hill, and McCaffrey all have extremely high ceilings. They all have good median projections, and they all have high floors, which is why we're drafting them as the top three overall players. That should go without saying. But there is some players here that are a little bit riskier than others. You can see that Tyreek Hill and Christian McCaffrey, for example, are a little bit older at their respective positions, so they have more risk than CeeDee Lamb. And Christian McCaffrey specifically, because he's a running back with a big injury history, has a high risk of injury because of those factors. So that's where the risk comes in for him. But the rest of his stuff, talent, quarterback play, offensive environment, the amount of volume he's expected to see, the positional competition, all of those are green check marks because we know that if Christian McCaffrey is healthy, he can break fantasy football. So what we're going to do now, knowing how this process worked, we're going to go round by round, round ones through six, and talk about who are the safest players to draft in each round, who are the riskiest players to draft in each round, and use this concept of risk balance to your advantage. You don't want to only draft risky players, but you also don't want to only draft safe players. You want to mix up the profiles that you're going after. And for what it's worth, the players that I'm talking about in the rounds that I'm saying them are in our rankings. They might be going lower or higher in actual ADP. I'm just telling you guys where we have them ranked and where we value them. So obviously it goes without saying that if we have a risky player in round two that falls to you in round three, then the risk is obviously baked into their cost a little bit more at that point, and they're probably a better pick in round three than they were in round two, so on and so forth. So let's talk about the riskiest players in round one. I already made reference to one of them. That was Christian McCaffrey. Justin Jefferson and Puka Nacua I also consider to be risky round one players. The ceilings for all of these players are dramatically high. We know exactly what they could do in their upside scenarios, but keep in mind, right now we're talking about downside risk here. Not upside. I realize that all of Justin Jefferson, Puka Nacua, and Christian McCaffrey could break fantasy football, but Christian McCaffrey specifically, his downside risk is the same as it was last year, only he's another year older. He has more touches under his belt, 1,800 career touches, 28 years old. A healthy Christian McCaffrey is all you need to win your league. But health and advanced age are his biggest risks. He is currently fourth in the NFL right now among active running backs in overall touches. He is 28 years old, like I said. So he is one of the riskiest propositions in the first round. But as I've talked about on numerous occasions, I'm still comfortable taking him because the risk is worth the reward. We saw what he did last year, and he's very much in line to do the same thing in 2024 should he stay on the field. Justin Jefferson on the surface probably doesn't seem like a very risky option in your guys' opinion. However, with Sam Darnold calling the shots at quarterback, with Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson in the fold once Hawkinson's back on the field, Jefferson is a lot more risky than people realize. Because Justin Jefferson, I've been staunchly anti-Jefferson this offseason. Again, just in fantasy. I know Justin Jefferson's a top three real-life NFL wide receiver, but in fantasy football, I feel like there's a couple things that he would need to overcome, and I'm personally worried about his fantasy football ceiling being capped with a quarterback like Sam Darnold, who's been a career backup, not a very good quarterback. He ruined DJ Moore a couple years in Carolina. Without JJ McCarthy to come in and increase Justin Jefferson and the offense's overall ceiling, I worry that he's a lot riskier and potentially could have a blip on the radar type of season for an otherwise pristine talent who's probably destined to wear a gold jacket one day. So Kevin O'Connell coming in, he might dial back the elite passing volume that he saw with Kirk Cousins. And like I said, it's a shaky quarterback situation, and there's some other targets there that are talented enough to earn volume there with Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson and even Aaron Jones once those guys are all healthy. So finally, Puka Nacua is definitely a risky first round pick as well, simply because he is being drafted as the clear number one wide receiver, and it is not 100% clear that he is the number one wide receiver on his team because he shares a wide receiver core with a guy who just so happened to be the best fantasy football wide receiver in the history of fantasy football just 2 or 3 years ago in 2021. Cooper Kupp's presence could result in a median back end wide receiver one downside risk scenario, high end wide receiver two floor for a guy like Puka Nacua, which would be fine, I suppose, if you draft him at the end of the first round, but it's not the ceiling that you want out of your first round pick. So with Puka Nacua, he has to absolutely alpha Cooper Kupp, and I don't necessarily think that is likely to happen. I think Cooper Kupp, when healthy, is a very talented player still, and that is why I think Puka Nacua is one of the riskier bets in the first round, and generally why I'm kind of fading him at that area of the draft. Now, pivoting over to the safer options in the first round, if you guys are risk averse, the types of players that you should go after who probably won't bust this year are Breece Hall and Amon-Ra St. Brown. The reason these guys are extremely clean projections is because they're both in good offenses. They both have good, potentially great quarterbacks. There's other talent around them to keep the offense moving. There's other talent around them to keep them in the red zone. Breece Hall had his absolute worst case scenario play out last year. He had the worst quarterback play in the NFL, bottom five scoring offense, horrible offensive line. PFF ranked them as the 27th ranked unit in run blocking. Breece Hall himself was coming off of a torn ACL last year, and it didn't matter. He was still a top six running back on the season. He was a top five running back once he got the full workload after week five, averaging 19 PPR points per game. Every facet of Breece Hall's situation is better this year. PFF ranks the Jets as a top five offensive line with the additions of Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, and Olufoshanu in the draft. And he is now 2 years removed from the ACL tear that he was dealing with. And of course, Aaron Rodgers is a massive upgrade to Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, and Trevor Siemian. And even Tyrod Taylor, the backup quarterback, is an upgrade to the quarterback play that he saw last year. He has legendary upside. He has a high floor. And that is a rare combo for a running back in his prime to have all the stars aligned for him like this. He is in for a monster season, and that's why I traded for him in my home league. You guys can see the trade that I made shortly after my home league draft was finished. I traded CeeDee Lamb away for Breece Hall and Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and I threw on Khalil Herbert, who was my last round pick, just to add in a sweetener. I feel like Breece Hall could have a legitimate 25 point per game season, and of course, as I've mentioned, my league has first down bonuses, half point to rushing first downs, receiving first downs, big play bonuses, full PPR, so I feel like Breece Hall has a lot of upside in that aspect of my fantasy league because my scoring is a little bit different. But yes, if you are looking for a risk-averse pick, Breece Hall is absolutely the guy that I would go after. He is the single must-draft player in the first round for me in fantasy drafts this year. Amon-Ra St. Brown, should you go wide receiver, is also an easy click as well. We got an elite alpha, top three projected offense per Vegas, played through injuries last year, and was still a top three fantasy wide receiver. 10-plus touchdowns, big plays. Jameson Williams, should he take a step this year, will open up the middle of the field, open up space for him over the middle there. People say that he doesn't have a high ceiling because he's not quite the talent that Justin Jefferson, that Ja'Marr Chase are. But while that's true from a real life standpoint, I don't think that Amon-Ra St. Brown is as good as those guys. From a PPR league standpoint, he absolutely has just as high of a fantasy ceiling as those guys. He can threaten 25 plus PPR points this year because he has the capability really to go out there and have 180, 190 targets, 1,800 yards, and 10 plus touchdowns. That is the ceiling for Amon-Ra St. Brown. So if you are looking for, I'm not missing on my first round pick, St. Brown is your guy. Now let's get into round two. We have a couple risky options like Drake London and Devon Achane. Wide receiver 42 in PPR points per game last year was Drake London, and he's being drafted as a top 15, top 20 overall pick. Does he have the talent to take that next step? The quarterback play dramatically improved. The passing volume dramatically improved in Atlanta. Won't be bottom of the NFL like we've seen. But Drake London, the talent, is the question mark that we have. So that's what makes him a little bit more volatile. But I feel very confident that Drake London will become a great wide receiver in the NFL, will become a great fantasy wide receiver, which is why I drafted him at the 210 in my home league. Devon Achane is also listed around a buck 90. Raheem Mostert is there. He dealt with injury last year. Devon Achane is definitely one of the more risky running backs that you can go after. We absolutely love Devon Achane over on this channel, and generally he goes in round three, not in round two. But if you have to take him in round two, I am undertaking that risk because the upside is a top five running back. Given the receiving upside, given what kind of prospect he was, given the elite speed, given the offense he plays in, given the scheme and the rushing lanes that Mike McDaniel opens up for him, I realize he doesn't have the upside to carry the ball 25 times a game, but I don't need him to carry the ball 25 times a game because he is an elite efficiency back, one of the best rookie seasons efficiency-wise we've ever seen from a rookie running back. So I get why people are out on Devon Achane, but I personally am willing to take the risk. If you take Devon Achane at round two or round three of your fantasy draft, you can make up that risk by drafting safer players later on in the draft. For example, in our flock league, I drafted Garrett Wilson in the first round, who I believe is a pretty safe projection also. I drafted Devon Achane in the second round, who's a riskier projection. And then I drafted Kelsey and Mahomes in round three and four, who I believe are safer projections. So again, you can draft a guy like Devon Achane and build your team around that risky player that you're taking. So some of the safer players you can take in round two are Isaiah Pacheco and Chris Olave. Isaiah Pacheco's really clear cut. He is the number one running back by far on his depth chart. He plays for the Kansas City Chiefs, top five scoring offense, elite outside wide receiver talent added to stretch the field, open up the box for Isaiah Pacheco. It sounds like he's getting more receiving work this year, more receiving snaps, and he might be the pass protecting back inside the 2-minute drill as well. So with Isaiah Pacheco, I don't really see a world this guy fails outside of injury. I get he's not quite the talent that Devon Achane is or Jonathan Taylor is or Saquon Barkley is, some of the other guys you have to draft in round two, but Isaiah Pacheco really has a high fantasy floor this year and also a high fantasy ceiling. Chris Olave has literally everything you want from a fantasy football wide receiver outside of the fact that he doesn't play for a great team. But he is the exact type of guy that you want to bet on, because when you are as productive as he has been through the first 2 years of your career, year three can often be a big time jump from a talent standpoint. And we have no injury concerns with Chris Olave. We have no age concerns with Chris Olave. In fact, we expect him to ascend, take the next step this year. The passing volume, the new offensive scheme coming into New Orleans should help a little bit, should help the quarterback play a little bit. And I know this guy's an elite talent, has the ability to have a 2.5 plus yards per route run, has the ability to be a 17-18 PPR point per game score. The question is, does Derek Carr play at a high enough level that Chris Olave can do that? So that is the major question for him, but I do believe he's a relatively tight range of outcomes, high projection type of dude. Now let's get into round three. We have Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams, and Malik Nabers as the most risky assets in this round. Cooper Kupp and Devontae Adams are old and have a lot of injury concerns. So that's where their risk comes from. And specifically with Cooper Kupp, he's not the number one on his team. He also took a little bit of a step back from a talent standpoint last year, so that is his major concern. With Devontae Adams, he is in a very bad offense with potentially the worst starting quarterback duo in the NFL. Even though he's the clear number one of his team, he also took a little bit of a downturn from a yards per out run PFF receiving grade standpoint last year, posting, you know, lows basically since 2017 when Devontae Adams first broke onto the scene. He hasn't really been the same player in 2023 that he was in the previous seasons. And then with Malik Nabers, he's not old. We have no injury concerns with him, but he might also be in a very bad offense with Daniel Jones throwing him the football, offense that might want to run the ball, an offense that has a chance really to struggle to generate first downs, let alone touchdowns. So Malik Nabers is really going to have to be the type of talent as a rookie that elevates the play of Daniel Jones, that elevates the play of this offense. I believe he can do that. And I have him ranked in the third round as a result of that. But you don't actually usually have to draft him here. He went in the 410 in my home league. He goes in the fourth round, routinely. So in the fourth round, he's an absolute smash. In the third round, he's maybe the type of guy that you want to let your league mates draft if you're a little bit more risk averse. And again, with Cooper Kupp and Devontae Adams, the reason I'm not really in on those guys is that they routinely go in round two, not in round three. I have them ranked in round three, but they don't usually go in round three. So if you're looking for a safer option in round three of your fantasy draft, we have Mike Evans, Devontae Smith, Sam Laporta. Mike Evans, very clear he hasn't fallen off from a talent standpoint. He is a little bit older, so that's the worry that you have with him. He does have a little bit of quarterback play risk because Baker Mayfield is a little bit of a loose cannon, could go either way. But Mike Evans has been literally the most consistent fantasy receiver in NFL history. He's been a 1,000-yard receiver every year of his career. And he's the type of guy that if you're not looking to miss on your pick, you grab him in the third round and you're on your merry way. Devontae Smith, also not a very high-risk option as well. Maybe doesn't have quite the ceiling we would want him to because A.J. Brown is there, because A.J. Brown is the number one. But Devontae Smith is guaranteed locked in to be a wide receiver two or better because I believe in this Eagles offense. I think they're going to bounce back this year. Devontae Smith is one of the best receivers in the league. He's just capped by the fact that he shares the offense with another top five receiver, and that is where the ceiling is lost there. But the safety of Devontae Smith in round four, round three, where you can often get him, makes him one of my biggest targets in drafts. Sam Laporta, also a very good safety option, elite offense, elite quarterback, top two target on his team, had the best rookie tight end season we've ever seen, really does have a high ceiling as well. The only real downside for him is the fact that Amon-Ra St. Brown is the number one receiver there, and for me, I think Sam Laporta is a hard click because getting a tight end in round three kind of sets you behind the eight ball at running back and wide receiver, but he is generally one of these dudes that if you're a risk-averse drafter, you should probably be all over Sam Laporta. Round four, we talk about some of the risky players here. We have Kyle Pitts, Michael Pittman, and Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry does not go in round four. He goes way earlier than this, which is why I just have a straight up, you know, basically a void tag on him because he goes a lot higher than this. He is in year nine of his NFL career. He is very likely to fall off, and he kind of already has, posting RB14 on really elite usage for the Titans last year. Better offense, obviously better quarterback play, going to have a lot of goal line opportunity for Derrick Henry, but I am worried that he is not the same player he used to be. I am worried he could suffer some nagging injuries and have his season be a wash. Michael Pittman Jr. has a lot of risk with his quarterback play and the offense. In the drive that I watched of Anthony Richardson during the preseason, I thought he looked really sharp, minus the pick six that he threw, which also kind of looked like a miscommunication with Kylan Granson. So Michael Pittman, I've been willing to draft. I actually did draft him at the 4-11 in my home league, so I feel pretty good about Michael Pittman, but I do recognize there is some risk with the fact that Anthony Richardson might, A, make this offense very run heavy because he's a rushing quarterback, and B, there's other offensive talent in the offense there with A.D. Mitchell coming in with Josh Downs once he's back on the field, and the pass volume should be lower than what we saw with Gardner Minshew and Michael Pittman last year. But Pittman, the talent, I feel very safe, is a very solid NFL wide receiver one. It's just the offensive situation that gives him some risk. Kyle Pitts, I mean, you guys should probably know at this point he's a boomer bust player. If he hits this year, it's going to be in spectacular fashion, tight end one in fantasy type of thing. If he misses, it's going to look a lot like what it's looked like for Kyle Pitts the last couple of years. But I feel good about Kyle Pitts getting back to how he played as a rookie off of that injury last year. He wasn't quite the same, and he doesn't have Desmond Ridder throwing him the football. He has Kirk Cousins throwing him the football, and the offensive scheme with Zach Robinson coming in should be improved. So I feel pretty good that Kyle Pitts is a risk worth taking, and usually you can get him in round five instead of round four, which also makes that a little bit easier. The safe players in round four are definitely the onesies, specifically the quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. I feel very good that they're going to be positional advantages at quarterback this year. The rushing guys, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, both had 15 touchdowns last year on the ground, in addition to what they do with their arm. And Patrick Mahomes has the best weapons cast in totality. All three of his top receivers, Travis Kelce and Isaiah Pacheco, of his entire career. I really do think they have a big time season in store for them in Kansas City. And then Trey McBride, I also believe, is a very solid projection. He had a great breakout season last year. He was the tight end two down the stretch after week eight once he took over the starting job. Even though Marvin Harrison is there, Kyler Murray should play a lot better this year coming off 2 years removed from the ACL tear. So I feel very good that if you want a safe projection in round four, you're probably good going after onesies either at quarterback or at tight end. In round five, we also have some guys with talent question marks who I think are pretty risky. The mid onesies like Dalton Kincaid and Anthony Richardson, we just really haven't seen the production on the field yet. Anthony Richardson, in theory, has this super high ceiling because he runs, and then Dalton Kincaid, in theory, has this super high ceiling because he could be the number one for Josh Allen, but we haven't seen evidence of either of those things yet. We've seen it in spurts, we've seen it in small sample sizes, but we do need to see that over the course of a season. And then also, I have JSN and Romo Odunze ranked in the mid-fifth round. They don't go this high, so you don't have to take them this high, but if they do go this high in sharper leagues, they do have a lot of risk because they're young wide receivers who haven't proven it yet, and they very well, Odunze and just Smith and Jigba, could be the number three receiver on their team if things go poorly for them. But I'm projecting that their ability and their talent and their offense is taking a step forward will result in them being, you know, wide receiver twos this year because I think they're that good. The safe players in round five are the onesies who've done it before. Pretty straightforward. Mark Andrews, Lamar Jackson, George Kittle. If these guys are healthy and these guys are on the field, they're going to be top five tight ends and top five quarterbacks respectively. So not much to explain on that front. Even though George Kittle has a lot of target competition, he still finishes as a top five tight end every year. Even though Mark Andrews doesn't have a lot of pass volume, he still finishes as a top five tight end every year when he's on the field. And even though Lamar Jackson isn't the best passer in the world, he literally won the MVP last year. He runs. He has good skill talent around him with Andrews and Zay Flowers there. So feel pretty good about those guys if you're looking for a safe option in round five. In round six, the risky guys here are the rookies and the wide receiver posting as a tight end. So Xavier Worthy and Ladd McConkey, again, don't usually go in round six. They sometimes fall beyond this point. If they're good players, though, they will feast with good quarterbacks. So I feel really good taking the risk on these players if I've gone a little bit more risk-averse earlier on. Because with Worthy, I mean, if he hits, he's going to be an awesome hit this year. In his case, he's got a lot of volume. He's got basically autonomy down the field on the deep targets, on the big plays. In Ladd McConkey's case, he doesn't have as much volume, but he does have very little target competition. If he is the best receiver on that team, he absolutely will be the number one for Justin Herbert. Keenan is just a bad pick overall. Again, I don't actually have him ranked where he's going, which is like round four, round five. I have him ranked in round six, and he's risky because of his age. He's risky because of his injury history. He's risky because of all the bad vibes and the fact that he's potentially gained weight. The talent has potentially fallen off. The high target competition with DJ Moore and Romo Odunze there. He has a rookie quarterback. There is not a lot to like about Keenan Allen this year. Aside from the fact that he was good in fantasy last year, there's not much you can point to being a good draft pick this year. He just doesn't really have a whole lot of outs to hit this year, aside from DJ Moore going down or Romo Odunze going down. The safe players in round six, and then we'll close this video out, are the two elite fantasy quarterbacks, CJ Stroud, Kyler Murray. Obviously, Stroud is elite passing weapons. Kyler Murray is a great quarterback who runs, who also has improved passing weapons. And then also, I do believe Kenneth Walker is a decently safe projection in round six. He doesn't often go this high. He's sometimes going round four or round five of your home leagues. But I do believe there's a lot left on the bone in terms of him achieving a bit more of a ceiling this year, especially as a pass catcher. I've gotten a little bit higher on Kenneth Walker as the offseason has gone along. And I also don't think that Kenneth Walker is very likely to get hurt. He's a young running back. He's only entering year three. He has big play upside. He's the type of guy that if you wanted to venture into the dead zone for an RB1 or an RB2, I could see it with Kenneth Walker. I probably wouldn't do it myself because he typically goes round four, round five. But if he's sliding in sharper rooms, I think it's fine. So finally, I want to show you guys how risk balance actually plays out in practice, because that's what this video is all about. I can tell you who's safe and who's risky, and you could choose to draft them or not choose to draft them. But the point of this video is to determine how to draft the perfect fantasy football team based on the concept of risk balance, based on the concept that if you draft safe players early on, you want to take some risk in the mid rounds. Or if you draft a risky player early on, you want to take some safety in the mid rounds. If you guys are more willing to lean into risk, this is what a 6-round mock draft could look like. You get a safe projection like Tyreek Hill, who obviously has a high ceiling, Devon Achane, more of a risky projection, Nico Collins, more of a risky projection. But then after taking those two guys in the first three rounds, you backfill with a little bit more safety like Trey McBride, like T. Higgins, and like Rashee Rice. Again, Rashee Rice a little risky as well. If you are okay leaning into risk, that is the type of team that I think you can build through the first 6 rounds of your draft. But if those of you guys who are more risk averse, which is not really how I draft, but I do think it has some merit if you don't want to miss on your early round picks, you could draft a team like this. You get your two lockdown anchor running backs like most risk-averse drafters like to do. You get Breece Hall, you get Isaiah Pacheco. Both of those guys are good projections this year. You grab some safe projections at wide receiver. Jalen Waddle's in a great offense. DK Metcalf's the clear number one of his team. Trey McBride, similar to the last team, you get him falling to you at value, and he is a clear advantage at the tight end position. And then Christian Kirk's your wide receiver three. Again, I'm not super high on Christian Kirk anymore because of what I've seen in the preseason, but he is probably projected to have a decent wide receiver 2-3 output in a projected solid offense this year. So that's kind of what it would look like if you were drafting a perfect fantasy football team for the risk-averse drafter. And then the first one is kind of more if you're willing to lean into risk like I am, that's how your team would look like. So if you guys want access to all of these risk ratings, I only broke down like probably less than half of the ones that we actually have in the draft guide. If you want to know what I think of the range of outcomes of all your favorite players on your team, what I think of how I would, you know, structure these draft strategies based on this concept of risk balance, again, the more offenses that you can invest in that are really good, the more players you can invest in that are really good, the less risky your team will be, and the better you're probably going to perform in fantasy. I looked back on this exercise last year, and they ended up being pretty accurate. If you ended up drafting a lot of the guys that I said were safe, like CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, guys like that. But if you enjoyed this video, leave a like down below. Like I said, my league mates are probably going to watch this, so I really appreciate all the likes you can drop. Subscribe to the channel if you are new. If you want all these risk ratings, head on down to the pinned comment. Use promo code FSE when you sign up on Underdog Fantasy. Deposit $10, and you will get our draft guide in your email inbox for free within 24 hours. If you cannot play Underdog where you live, you can always sign up your spouse. You can tell a friend about Underdog and use that code FSE, and they can forward you that email access to the draft guide. Or you can head on over to flockfantasy.com, use promo code FSE over there for 7 days for free, 30% off any of the packages. Annual signups get 6 months for free and a free team review, so definitely check that out. And also, you get all the bonus content, all the draft guides of all of the other creators on the site. This coming week, we're going to be dropping all of the content that we did with Mason, with Zach and Badake, with Avery and Nathan over at the Dynasty Domain. This is going to be a lot of fun. That Texas trip was one of the best experiences of my life. Hopefully, you guys tuned in to a lot of the other guys' content so far. But with that being said, peace out, and we'll talk to you soon.